Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we'll spend most of our time. But we're going to start in chapter 7 reading a few verses there. So 2 Corinthians is a pretty short book. But if you want to turn there and follow along as I read. You know, my aim this morning with, of course, the help of the Lord is to provide us with hope through the Scriptures. And, you know, we're facing things in the world in which we live today that most of us have likely never faced before, you know, if not all of us really, have never dealt with quite the things that we're dealing with today. To see what I'm saying in your mind's eye right now, just go through your photos of the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. I mean, we take more pictures today than we've ever taken before. Our cell phones, I mean, probably, but if I could see your hands this morning, how many of you would say, you know, you had like 1,000 photos or more in your camera roll or in the iCloud or in some form of storage? We just take pictures like never before. And I was looking yesterday as I was celebrating Christmas with my family, I was looking through Christmas memories of pictures. And I thought to myself, it is incredible what changes in such a short amount of time. It is absolutely astounding to see how different things are now. We have seen the foundation of our very lives rocked like never before. And I say foundation of our lives to make a point. Obviously, as Christians, our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should be, and it should be the Word of God. But how often, especially where we live in our country and then in North America with the blessings and the luxuries and the wealth that we've enjoyed, it's something to consider as Christians that sometimes our foundation is not so biblical, but is more on the way that we can provide for ourselves and the comfortable lives that we lead and other things. And it's sort of a wake-up call when those sort of things become threatened, when it looks as though we're going to have difficulty providing for ourselves, or we're not sure what the economy is going to do, or there's a scare with our health. Our help needs to be from the Lord. Our hope needs to be in the Lord as well. And He has a purpose for our lives. And sometimes a healthy dose of the frailty of all of that is a good drawing for us to run to the Lord. We hope in Him, and we need to trust Him. And I want to give us some hope this morning from Scripture. You know, I like what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2, where the writer says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So the joy of what was accomplished at Calvary, namely the salvation of all who would repent and believe in His substitutionary death for our sins, made for Christ enduring the pain and the horror and the shame of the cross worth it in her eyes. So I want to think about the what we're facing through the lens of faith. So we for the joy that was set before Him, how many of you would say, "You know, Pastor Tricky, I am just really enjoying COVID. I mean, it is, you know, the best. I just love it. How about the current political climate? I really enjoy the current political climate, Pastor Tricky. I think it's just wonderful." You know, and we couple that with some of the personal issues that many may be dealing with, whether it's directly related to that or not. Many of us, if we are honest, might say, "Of course not. I am not enjoying those things. I'm a bit busy, you know, worried about one of those things, whether it's money or health or the political climate or anything along those lines. I'm worried about losing my freedoms, or I'm worried about getting sick, or I'm worried about losing my job." Maybe that's because we are too focused on the process and not enough on the product. And before you tune me out for saying such things this morning, I hope you know that this is coming from my heart, and I believe from the Scripture this morning, of how we as Christians ought to be finding our hope in the Lord, to where the things that we're facing and the situation of our world is not so off-putting that we lose hope. We don't have to enjoy what's happening right now in the world, but as Christians, we do need to have faith in God. We do need to have joy in what He can provide for us, and in fact, how he can use us because of what's going on in the world today. If we can learn to find comfort during these trying times, what kind of impact might that position us to have in the days ahead? I was asked literally this week how I remain so calm in what's going on in the world. It struck me because I didn't realize that I was calm per se, but my perspective on what's happening in the world, COVID aside or COVID included really, is that God is still in control of everything. God is still almighty. He's still sovereign. Nothing happens outside of his realm of control. And I have a deep-rooted peace in that he controls these things. So while my flesh is weak, my faith in God is strong. So if we are focused more on the potential product, what will be produced in us as a result of these difficulty, or if we're focused on a positive impact on others in the name of Jesus, would it change the way we thought about the journey that we're on to get there? You know, the destination, the end game, what is the end result of what we're facing? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll be there in just a moment, there has been an underlying theme. I'm not sure if you'll catch it or not, because this has been broken up in my preaching lately, because I focused on some of the things at Christmas. But on the odd sermon that maybe on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, I've had this theme. If you go through and look at the internet at the titles of my sermons, you'll be able to peck these out, because I've been talking about overcoming fear and worry based on Scripture. And the reason I've been preaching on those topics is because I've needed to do just exactly that. I've needed to overcome my fear and worry about what is happening in the world and in our lives today. And so there, I've hit and missed on a lot of these topics over the past couple of months. So anyway, I want us to see this morning. I've been looking to the Lord for help, and I know many of you have as well by word of your own testimony. But the battle is not over. This morning, which by the way, of course, is the last Sunday of 2021, we're looking at the first chapter of what is by far Paul's most personal letter. He has a lot of history with the church at Corinth. He started the church along with Silas and Timothy during his second missionary journey, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 18 if you want to check that out. And he did that after leaving the city. He heard the troubling news that there were problems arising. There was difficulties coming up. So when Paul was on his third missionary journey, he heard about even more conflict in the church. And they had written to him a series of questions. And that's when he wrote the letter that we refer to now as 1 Corinthians. And then an even greater problem developed, because now people, there's a group of false teachers that are entering the church, and they're claiming to be sent by the church at Jerusalem. And the methods that they used to justify this heresy was to discredit Paul and his ministry. So there's a lot of this going on. So that is when Paul made what is often referred to as a painful visit. If you peek at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul said, "I am determined with this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness." You see this allusion to that. Admittedly, that visit was difficult. So he began to make his way back to Corinth, and that's when he met Titus, who was coming back with the wonderful news that many in the church had repented, and they read Paul's letter, and they wanted to follow him and the gospel that he had originally taught. And so in that frame of mind, that's when he sits down, and in the middle of the letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I asked you to turn there first, this is what he said in that frame of mind. He said in verse 2, "Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you, great is my glorying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." That's an important phrase for us to remember. Verse 5 says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. He says in this next verse, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. So, with all of that in mind, we're going to look this morning at some reasons to have hope in tribulation. I wonder if I were to, if I had sat down with each of you across the table and we were just having a private conversation, we would be able to share some tribulations that we're facing. I don't think there's a single person within the sound of my voice that isn't facing a difficult situation. So finding hope in Scripture is exactly what we as Christians are supposed to do. And I would like to think a majority of those listening to me this morning would know exactly how to do that. So you're saying, well, Pastor Tricky, if that's true, then what's the point of a sermon that's encouraging us to find hope in Scripture? Well, I know the flesh and I know the mind and I am human and I need reminding of just exactly this. I need to be reminded of what we're supposed to do. And it reiterates and confirms and strengthens my resolve to find hope in the Lord. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 now, and we'll read the first 11 verses. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me stop there for just a second. We hear that phrase frequently from Paul, but just because we hear it frequently, I hope it doesn't lose its impact. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Three titles right there. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. They were really struggling, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift, or that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So we're talking this morning about hope in God and in his comfort and during tribulation. So as you think about your life right now and the potential of what we're facing, I mean, who knows where things are going, right? I mean, if you turn on the news, I just Googled yesterday. I don't do it very often, but I Googled Ontario COVID cases and then followed a few links. And I was like, wait a minute, this is, what am I doing this for? To prepare myself for preaching on finding comfort in God? I want to encourage you, okay? Today and any day from here on out, no matter what we face, we can have hope in the character of God. Look at those first few verses again and listen as I read them for comfort in God, for his character. And let's look at, let me read it, the first couple of verses again, maybe starting in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I like me some mercy. Amen. And the God of all comfort, I like comfort, who comforteth us all, comfort us in all our tribulation. Now, this is where you have to say, I hope you're not saying, well, Pastor Tricky is going to give us some ways to get out of all this mess. You know, we're going to be able to live without. This is not talking about being without problems, is it? Or without tribulation. It is about finding comfort and finding hope in the tribulation. Have hope in God's character. Every one of us has to decide if we're going to try and find comfort in what we're going to do that. It would appear that we are once again about to be put in a vice or a perpetually put into some sort of restrictive mode with the pandemic, right? It's actually a really good time to talk about God's character and hoping in that, because his character never changes and is dependable. And depending on what you believe about this whole pandemic and what you're thinking and what you follow, you know, none of that changes the fact that we can have hope in the character of God. As we think back over this last nearly 2 years now, or even consider the next several months, where will you find comfort? What do you want to see that you believe will provide comfort for you? This is one of those things I think we should all evaluate ourselves honestly and say, what would have to happen for me to be comforted? For the person who would say, well, you know, in the return of school and the normalization that comes with routine schedules, and you know, those of us that find comfort in routines have really had it rough the last couple of years, haven't we? You know, or for the person who would say, well, I'll find some comfort with the return of unrestricted indoor and outdoor restaurants, you know, to eat and enjoy without a documentation needed, or perhaps going to a huge sporting event and huddling up with a hot dog and cheese fries and cheering our team to victory. When we can do that again, then finally I'll find comfort. Or I'll take comfort if my political candidate or political party wins the next election. That's where I'll finally be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or I'll take comfort when I've convinced everyone on my social media or within my circle about the superiority of my particular views on the vaccine or the COVID or social justice, or you fill in the blank. That's when I'll find comfort, when everybody agrees with my superior views on the matter. Worse yet, we could say I'll find comfort in drugs or alcohol, or you know, this list could go on and on and on. The alternative provided in God's word is for us to have hope in the unchanging character of our God. It bears repeating. The alternative provided in this passage in God's word is to learn to find comfort in the unchanging character of God. Do you see the marvelous ways he is described in these verses? First of all, he is the one who transforms us into his messengers. First of all, look at the first few verses, or first few words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Everything about the way Paul responds to tribulation is considered now through the lens of the ministry to which he has been called. And even when some in the Corinthian church, perhaps many at least for a period of time, had rejected Paul and his ministry, pleasing them and receiving their approval was not where he was seeking to find comfort. But the fact that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, because God had called him to that position on the Damascus Road, and that he never got over the miracle of his own conversion and the privilege of what he was serving to do, to have potential impact on many people, even today, the impact of how God used Paul, we still feel in our reading this morning. So God can transform people. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul also had a man at his side whose life demonstrated the truth of that principle as well. Who was that? Well, it was Timothy, our brother. You know, that description was fascinating, really, on all sorts of levels. And the Corinthians would have known that. Timothy's mother and grandmother were devout Jews, right? But his father was an unbelieving Grecian man. And you can find that story in Acts chapter 16 in verse 1. You can find that out. But Paul has been the one who led him to Christ. And this is why in other places Timothy would also be referred to as my son in the faith, or our son in the faith. But what's important here is that he says, our brother. God is transforming people into his messengers, and he's been doing this throughout all of time. You and I are transformed. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are transformed from a person you were before salvation, a lost person, now to a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of his. He is the one who transforms. God's character, we can find hope in, because he's still in the business of doing exactly that. And we hear about that all the time. He's also the one who's building his church. He said there in the first verse of verse 1, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. What is the church? Well, you know, if we're going to get typical specific, a church is a called out assembly. And that definition will become even more important when we consider what comfort actually is and how it's received. But all the way back in the book of Matthew, after the Jewish nation had formally rejected Christ as their Messiah, Jesus then, of course, promised that he would build his church. And a group of men and women from every nation and every economic condition that he was calling out of the world and into a personal relationship with him, it is through those people that he would build his church. He would then mediate his plan and program in and through them, and that's where there had to be, that's where the church is, right? So that's what we are, and there's comfort to be found there. So God is the one whose character provides hope through his transformation power, and that he transforms messengers into disciples of Christ. He is the one who's building his church. He's the one who offers both grace and peace. In verse 2, I stopped when I was reading that the first time to emphasize how important that phrase is. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was the only way we could be forgiven of our sin and gain entrance into Christ's family. And peace with him and others is a delightful aspect of this free gift. So I think sometimes we get used to hearing certain phrases that don't impact us the way that they should. And I was reading a little blip commentary from John MacArthur about that term, Lord Jesus Christ, or those three words. And he said this: the title Lord Jesus Christ summarizes all of his redemptive work. Lord describes his sovereign deity. Jesus, by the way, the Greek equivalent of that would be Yeshua, God saves. Jesus describes his saving death and resurrection. And Christ is anointed one. It describes him as our king who will defeat God's enemies and will rule and over the redeemed of earth and the eternal state. So those words, Lord Jesus Christ, this is the one that we've come to worship on this last Lord's Day of 2021. And his person and work put all the tribulations that we face and will face into their proper perspective, which can be very comforting if we will allow it to be. Lord Jesus Christ, he is the ruler, the reigner, our king, the provider of grace. Grace and peace be unto you. And I say that to you from God's word this morning, grace and peace be unto you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Please consider all of those places where we might go to find comfort. I just mentioned earlier, drugs, sports, less convictions, politics, whatever. They all pale in comparison to this description, do they not? To the God of all comfort. And then Paul says, our God is also the one who always comforts us. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That's a good word study, that word comfort in Scripture. It means to come alongside, a paraclete. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. That's a neat picture, isn't it? God comforts us by coming alongside of us in our hurts and in our pains and fears and frustrations and calling us to himself for strength and sustenance and a deeper relationship with him. And do you know, understand that that means that whatever your spiritual condition today, God is calling you to something. He's calling you to something. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you know, he's knocking on, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. One of the clear lessons from the pandemic is the importance of seeking comfort in the right place. And I would urge you in these tumultuous times to answer God's call to salvation if you don't know the Lord this morning and admit your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you have questions about that, whether you're watching online or you're here today, we would be happy to meet with you in whatever setting makes you comfortable and study God's word on the matter of salvation. It's so important. And Christian friend, the majority of who are hearing me this morning, isn't it amazing that God Almighty has time and interest in calling us, in calling you. This word is so precious. The paraclete, to come alongside. It's why James said in the book of James chapter 4, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So why can we have hope in tribulation? Well, because of God's character. Furthermore, we can have hope in God's purpose. Verse 4, his purpose, it, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, and we feel that, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I realize when we talk about these things, and we really want to feel it, don't we? We want to just see this come to fruition. And we often might try to mentally apply all of this to what you're likely facing and say things like, I don't like the mask argument. I don't like the educational uncertainty. I don't like the political infighting. I don't like the social unrest. I don't like the vaccine. All of these, it's just that all seems to make me uncomfortable. Well, I say all of that to say this. Are you focused on the process, or are you focused on the product, the potential result? Because there's a double beauty here, if you didn't notice it. Not only that you can be strengthened by God coming alongside you, paraclete, during a difficult tribulation, but you also have the potential of comforting others, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It is what I prayed God would help me do today from this place right now, is that I would be able to comfort you in the way that he is comforting me. And many of you in our membership have comforted me in much the same way, because you've shared with me how God is comforting you. Do you have anyone else in your life right now who is possibly facing affliction? The answer to that question, I've already addressed it, is a resounding yes. They do. We do. Who do you know who isn't facing some sort of affliction? And I realize you might say, but you know, Pastor Tricky, I don't have any spare comfort to give them right now. You know, it's like the toilet paper craze at the beginning of the pandemic. It's every man for himself. And Pastor Tricky, I have enough comfort for me. I'm not about helping anybody else right now. I'm just hanging by a string to all the comfort I can get. Well, you know what? What does the next phrase in that verse say? or it's who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That is why it is so important, my friend, to find ways every day to be comforted in your afflictions by our sufficient God. Because then you have a surplus comfort to share. What do I do, Pastor Tricky? You get in the Word of God. You get on your face before him. You stay faithful in serving the Lord. Isn't it a delightful thing to see someone learn the art of sharing? You know, especially because I speak as a parent now of young children who are trying to teach sharing and the importance of all that. It's so delightful when that kicks in and they actually do it. I mean, how many parents can relate? Their children are arguing and they're very possessive of their own things, but then there's this little glimmer of hope and your sweet little child says, oh, they need something, and they instead of eating the last cookie, they break it in half and they share it with somebody, and you didn't tell them to do that, and you're like, go do that again. And of course, then maybe a minute later, they're all over each other. But nonetheless, it's a joy to see someone share. It's a joy to see how that happens. You and I ought to have a heart to share the comfort available to people from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we should have, it's almost crazy to say it, but you know, the things that you're experiencing, the afflictions that you're experiencing, the difficulties that you're facing, Would we dare welcome more of those type of experiences so that we are more capable of helping others who are experiencing that? I mean, I don't want to say, hey, God, give me trouble so I can help people deal with trouble down the road. But you know what? We can count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation. We can glory in difficult times because it is preparing us to be used as a vessel of God to comfort someone else. Have you ever noticed that sometimes there's just, like, you look at some people and you think, they're going through so much. God, how much can one person handle? And they seem to trust the Lord through everything, and they're able to be a blessing to other people. And in my flesh, I want to say, God, I really don't want to be that person that has to go through so much pain in order to help somebody. But we need to see the end result. We need to understand, you know, it's easy to say this. And in fact, I don't say it. The Bible does. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away, right? I pray for an eternal perspective. I often pray for that. And it's easier as you get older, right? As you get older to see how life is quickly fleeting and life is frail. And we don't have a lot of time on this earth. Our life is but a vapor. Eternity is absolutely forever. We are here to prepare for eternity. What are you willing to do to prepare for something that's going to have no end? We should invite perhaps additional journeys of affliction if it makes it possible of comforting others. More likely, of course, I mean sharing your faith and seeing people saved, which grounds our hope for others. Verse 7 says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation." There's no question that we're all going to be, and in fact have been, sharing sufferings. That'll be the universal condition of mankind. We know these happen. What remains to be seen is whether the people of God seek to live in a way that others can be sharers of the comfort, that we are oozing out the way that God has comforted us. Now let's think about what this looks like in real time. I would encourage all of us to find ways to start our days and process our days by seeking to be comforted by God. So how do you do that? You rehearse His blessings in your mind. You rehearse His promises. You look to His plan. You seek His presence. You study His word. You live in light of passages of Scripture. How about this one? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, that says this, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Look to the Scripture. Memorize verses like that. This is a clear antidote to fear and worry and anxiety. And that provides a level of calm and stability as we respond to whatever challenges we are called upon to face. That's why, remember, Paul began 2 Corinthians, as he does, with many of his books, by directing our attention to the grace and peace of God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So do we need to be concerned about COVID? Well, I believe we do. But we don't have to be sinfully worried about it. We don't have to spend our days convincing everyone on the planet that our opinions are the only correct ones. People who have found their comfort in God have a kind of peace and self-control that is delightfully attractive. And invariably, you will have people ask you about the calm in the midst of the storm. I told you earlier, I was literally asked that question this week. How do you remain calm in the middle of all this? And I didn't realize that I was being calm. But when somebody asks you that question, it's almost like you can hear the air horn blowing, because you can drive that semi-truck of the gospel through that opening and say, this is why. Because I trust God. I'm saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that provides a hope like no other. No fear of eternity, no fear of death, knowing that you'll be in heaven. I was literally blown away by being asked about that. Why are you so calm? And it is a witnessing opportunity every time somebody might bring that question up. You might even find yourself thanking God for the occasion where you needed His special comfort. So you, in turn, have the unique opportunity to point someone else to the same source. And you might say, Pastor Ricky, I am not there yet. I'm not ready to thank God for this difficulty that I'm facing. But you know what? One day you may be. And I encourage you to look to God for strength. Look to him for help. Look to him for comfort. Because people need the comfort of the Lord. People need Jesus. They need salvation. Friend, if you're trying to find comfort in the result of the next vote, if you're trying to find comfort in the next law that passes or fails, you will be endlessly agitated. You will be endlessly angry, and you will be worried and fearful and uncomforted and uncomfortable. That's just the truth of it. Why? That approach to living ignores a far superior source. Don't you know that God sees these things? The same is true in a different kind of way about other wrongs in the world. You know, if you'll only be comforted when the conditions in the world are perfect in this life, you're very well could miss opportunities to direct men and women to comfort in the next. What if, and God forbid this be the case, what if this next year is the most difficult year we face regarding the pandemic and government overreach and freedoms being squashed? Will God's comfort be sufficient if that's the case? Did you notice the language that Paul uses at the end of this section? It's the language of deliverance. We can have hope finally this morning in God's deliverance. Even we were pressed out of measure. Verse 8, those are the words Paul used. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And if you have trouble, if you're one of those, say, you know, the King James is often difficult to understand, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty easy what it says there. We would not have you be ignorant of the trouble. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We don't know for sure exactly what Paul was speaking about here, but he uses similar language in other parts of the book. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Listen to his language here. He said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Oh, I want to be in that position. I want to be able to just know that God is so involved in the things that are happening in my life that I'm just happy to be a tool used of him. That's the power of the gospel. And it appears that we're going to have plenty of opportunities for this to occur. Always occurring about in the body, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. We can have hope in God's deliverance, even when we're pressed out of measure, by choosing also not to trust in ourselves. Don't you love what Paul calls us to next? Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 9, he says, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." When Christmas next year rolls around, and it will roll around, right? We just are stunned at how quick that this came up. And by the way, the songs that we sang this morning, with the exception of "What Child Is This?" because it was Christmas, I threw a Christmas carol in, but "Trust and Obey" was the song I wanted us to sing, and "My Father Planned It All" were things I wanted our mind to be there as we talked about these things. So when Christmas rolls around next year, don't you want to be able to say things like this about your response to whatever we face in 2022? "I did not trust myself. I trusted in God who raises the dead. He has delivered me in the past, and he will deliver me in the days ahead, and him I have set my hope." And don't you want to be able to say that I invited others to be to hear and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I've invited others to be instruments of God's use in things like this. The passage ends with a very practical reminder of the importance of our praying for one another as we seek to walk these principles out regardless of what occurs. In verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know, I wonder, I'm tempted to break off in another sermon on prayer. I won't do it because I see the time. But you know, there are so many things that we as Christians should be involved in. And I dare say, if we were as passionate about those things as we can be about what's happening in the world today, we would be much more effective. We would be a lot stronger, and you would experience a lot more comfort if you will put the effort of your brain and their strength and your arguments and everything that you feel pent up inside because of what we're doing, if you will direct that energy to the things of God, you will be an example of comfort and people will come to you. You will be a light. Say, wow, how do they have their head on straight? What is different about that person? And then it's honk, honk, here comes the gospel. And you'll have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with somebody. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, it certainly has comforted me in ways I didn't even realize many times before. And I pray that in some way today that I have convinced someone through your word that they can find comfort and they can find hope and strength to get by in whatever they're facing right now. We'll face who knows what in the coming year. Well, Lord, I know that we can face it with you through your strength, through your comfort, and through your help. And I pray that that's exactly what happens as a result of your word today. Lord, if there's someone within the sound of my voice and they are uncertain about their eternal home, they don't know if they're saved or not, Lord, I pray that you would convict them, help them see their need of you, give them courage to talk to someone about knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven. As Christians, Lord, listening today, give us great courage to take a stand for what we know is right and on your word. And Lord, we want to give all the glory and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.